Be ye doers of the word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. This admonition of the Apostle comes to us in Eastertide, that time of year when we celebrate with joy the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and give him humble thanks that he has made us partakers of that which he came to offer to us, salvation, and the participation in his life, and our incorporation now into the body of Christ and the church, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, and our hope of heaven. And so the Apostle is reminding us that at the same time that we are the receivers of this, the recipients of these great graces, we are to put the faith into practice. So don't just hear the word, but do the word. And he makes the comparison, or gives an analogy of a man looking in a mirror. And if he looks in the mirror, it's an ephemeral experience, because as soon as he leaves, he forgets what he looked like. He has to come back and check with the mirror. But somebody who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not just a hearer, but a doer of the work, well, then they're established in the thing, and they do not lose their identity, as it were. So another way to understand this would be that a person may intellectually assent to the Christian faith, but if they, and maybe even, you know, believe on it, but is their belief demonstrated by their actions? You know, St. James is the same one who said, faith without works is dead. So you're faithful. Well, let me see it. Prove it to me with your works. Let me see a life that corresponds to that belief that you say you have. So he's pretty rough. I mean, he's calling out the hypocrites, right? This challenging epistle for me. Not just to talk about it, or not just to think it or believe on it, but actually to do it. Another analogy might be if we thought about somebody who was, really excited about the idea of skiing, and they got to, you know, studying about skiing, they read books about it, they watched YouTube videos about skiers, they knew all about it, but had never touched, you know, boot to ski to ice and gone down the mountain. We wouldn't call them a skier. They might be a skiing aficionado and a real, you know, sports fan, that kind of thing, but we wouldn't call them a skier. So here he's saying, do the work. Don't just think it or believe on it, but do it. In the same way, he takes it another step further when he says that the person that doesn't bridle their tongue, right, well, they're deceiving themselves and their religion is vain. Now here he's pointing out that there are many who might speak about the things of faith and be very eloquent in their descriptions of faith, but they're not doing the work. This, by the way, is a symptom of those who are imprisoned by the capital sin of sloth. Sloth at its root is a decision not to follow Christ. Instead, a person is holding fast to another god. They've given themselves to idolatry, perhaps self-worship, or the god of mammon, where they're trying to accumulate material things. They say they're a Christian. They may even deceive themselves that they're a Christian. But at the root, they're not following Christ. They're following their own desires or another god. And one of the symptoms of this is that they become very loquacious about the things of God, about the things of the faith. And so, again, it's symptomatic of a person who is slothful at the root. They talk a lot about the faith. They talk a lot about the Christian faith, about Jesus. They may even be more articulate than a believer. This particular symptom is endemic among the clergy. And I'll be the first to admit my own hypocrisy. A lot easier to talk about the faith and actually get down to the nitty-gritty of what it means to obey Christ in all things. But therein we will find our freedom if we will love him by obeying his commandments. And so the Apostle is touching on that mystery of faith, that when a person pursues the perfect law of liberty, which is the law of love, when they give themselves over to that, then the vista opens up. Now they are going beyond just talking about the thing, they are doing the thing. So we might take another comparison to the person who is, you know, maybe they don't just talk about skiing, but they start to you know, explore other things about it. Maybe they're very good at a video game of skiing, and they begin to, you know, show their proficiency in that. They begin to brag to their friends about how good they are. They can beat their own family member or circle of friends, maybe even people online at this game they found where they're skiing. Still, we wouldn't call them a skier. It's only when they commit to the thing, when they actually do the thing itself, that we would say that they are in it. And so here is where we are challenged. Are we actually living out the Christian life? We have a Christian belief, and we also have a Christian practice. And that practice is something that we do religiously. And it is something that we get good at. It's like any art. The art of loving God and loving others is an art. And if you've ever, you know, tried to excel at an art, you'll realize that you never become a master. As soon as you think you've got it, you realize you don't. There is more to be done in this. And in a sense, we're always beginning again in this great endeavor to fulfill the commandments of Christ. But if we will continue in that, then the vista opens up. And what St. James touches upon is also revealed in the Epistle of St. John, his first, in chapter 4, at verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So love is of God. God is love. And his energy, his dynamos, the energy of God, is now indwelling us. And when we love, we can only love others through the love that is in us that Christ has given to us. That love which is rendered in the Greek agape, self-sacrificial love. The only way we can love as Christ does is through his power in us. And when we do that, when we deny ourselves for others, when we love with that kind of love that is self-effacing, that is generous and kind, that doesn't hold grudges, that doesn't count wrongs, that is long-suffering, that lays itself out for the benefit of the other, when we love in that way, then we can feel the power from on high. Now this vessel, which is now a temple of the Holy Spirit, can be energized by the love of God coming through it, and there is now the opening vista of what it means to be sanctified by that grace, to put love into action, and now to be born of God and to know God, to experience God. That is how we experience him. We experience him in our lives by putting his commandments into practice. And to obey the commandments of Christ is to love him. And his commandments are not onerous. Anything that Christ has asked us to do, he has done himself beyond measure. And anything that Jesus asks us to do liberates us. Therein we will find our freedom. We see the Lord himself touch upon this mystery at the Last Supper when he says to the disciples these very powerful phrases. Jesus says to them in relation to loving him, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." That is how we know Christ. We obey his commandments and he will reveal himself to us. This is where we're going beyond just knowing about skiing, for example. We're not just knowing about it. We're not trying to do a substitute of skiing or kind of another experience that is like skiing, like a video game or something. This is where we actually have, you know, the boots on, the skis on, and we're going down the mountain, experiencing the exhilaration of what it means to be, you know, using gravitational force and playing with the wave and the shape and the steepness of the mountain. So here is where we're actually entering into it and enjoying the reality to which we are called, as those who are called to be saints in the church. Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him." This is the way you might look at it, like a continuous loop of an energizing loop, that when we obey God, his love is manifest in us. He indwells us, gives us the power to obey the commandments of God. When we do that, we experience again his love in us. One way that we obey the commandments of Christ is to do this in remembrance of him. And so this morning we're already entering into the deep mystery of what it means to follow Christ. Is it a heavy burden that we come here to receive the sacrament of the altar? No, it's a very light duty. Now, that we offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving? No, when we thank God, it makes us joyful. And we remember that we are in his care and that he embraces us with his love. So we're already obeying the commandments by being here. Now, energized by that love and fulfilled by his promise, let us go forth and obey the commandments of Christ in relation to others, that we may experience that true freedom which is our birthright as those who have been born again from on high. And so in this Eastertide, while we rejoice in the victory of Christ, let us experience it anew, as we are not only hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. Let us not only hear it, but let us set forth with zeal to do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.